series in James. James is a very practical book, and James is a book where he talks about many, many things in a very practical way, gets us to really think about our faith in a variety of ways, and he's always encouraging us to be practicing our faith in practical ways, in ways that will show what our faith is all about. And as I am, what shall I say, doing this series and following, the chapters that James has written, we're going to be talking about wisdom today. And we need wisdom, don't we? Because as we consider a new pastor, that is going to require wisdom. And wisdom is different than knowledge, as we'll take a look at in a moment. I do want to say, however, that I won't be here next week, as Bruce has already said. And the following week is Mother's Day, and so I will be doing a Mother's Day message rather than James, just to prepare you. So we'll look forward to that. I did my first Sunday here a year ago, just about a year ago, was Father's Day. And so this will be my first Mother's Day message. So I'm looking forward to giving that to you. Well, today, as I said, we're going to be looking at wisdom and seeking wisdom. Who wants to be wise? Yeah. Let's see your hand. Who wants to be wise? Who wants to be knowledgeable? Seems like more hands went up with knowledge, but knowledge is something that we gain from books. You've heard me say this before. And as valuable as that is, wisdom comes from a different place. Wisdom doesn't come from books. I mean, some of you have said to me, well, you're a smart guy and you got degrees and all this, Well, that's from books. That's from books. Wisdom doesn't come from books. Wisdom only comes from God himself. And we can take the knowledge, and again, James is not speaking against knowledge. He encourages knowledge, and I would encourage you to gain as much knowledge as we can, especially in the Word of God, and I trust that every one of us are reading the Word of God through the week at some point anyway. And learning more and more about what God's word says. So knowledge is important. But it's applying knowledge to certain decisions that are very, very important in our life. And we are faced here on the hill with a decision about a new pastor. And there's nowhere in the Bible where you can go and say, all right, okay, God, show us who the next pastor is going to be for Franklin Hill Presbyterian Church. You can't find it. And so, and can you find it somewhere else where it's written? No. See? So we're going to need wisdom. And I think it's interesting, as I chose to do a series on James, that how James is addressing all the things that we need to be preparing ourselves for as a church as we consider a new pastor. And so we want to be wise. We want to be wise. Wisdom, I'm going to say, is a step above knowledge, right? It's the application of that knowledge. So when I say who wants to be wise, I hope that all of our hands go up, because as a church, you're going to vote on this new pastor, and that's going to require some wisdom, see? And so we want to be wise. And how do we become wise? Well, truth. And this is from John Calvin. I love John Calvin, by the way. He's one of the reformers. He's a good Presbyterian. he's a reformed theologian. One of my favorites. I love John Calvin. And he says this: true wisdom consists in two things: knowledge of God and knowledge of self. So he's taking wisdom with knowledge, and notice what he says. True wisdom, now he's talking about wisdom, comes or consists in the knowledge of God and the knowledge of ourselves. Now, how do you get to the knowledge of God? How do you get there?
Through Scripture.
Yeah, you get there through Scripture. That's why reading the Scripture is so very, very important. And whoever comes as pastor, you want them to be in the Scripture. You want them to be teaching you the Scripture, because that's the knowledge of God. That's what God wants us to be involved in, knowledge of Him. And then, John goes on to say, knowledge of self. Now, as a counselor, I was a counselor for many years, as you know, and many people didn't, you know, I would ask them, well, do you really know who you are? And they would say, someone would say yes, but someone would say, you know, I really don't know who I am.
Pastor, remember that book, "When the Real Me, Please Stand Up."
Yep.
There was a book out there.
Yep. And so knowledge of ourselves is something that we might take for granted, but we really, in order to have knowledge of ourselves, we need to be taking a look inside of ourselves each and every day. We were talking about this in Sunday school, and again, another plug for Sunday school. You missed a great time in Sunday school this morning. Wasn't it great, those of you that were? I mean, it was really great. It's a small group where we all get together and apply the Scripture to what's going on amongst us. And so, if I would encourage you to come to Sunday school just an hour earlier. It's very beneficial. But anyway, getting to the knowledge of self, it involves taking a look at ourselves, and here we go. James tells us that knowing ourselves and knowing God really is knowing ourselves means that we have to be honest with our hearts. And we were talking about a particular member of our congregation. I won't embarrass him by mentioning his name in the service this morning, but we were talking in Sunday school. He was there, and well, I'm just gonna, do you mind? Jerry Henry is a great example to our church. He's a great example to our church. You know, he's had a history, and we all have histories.
Amen.
And we all have consequences because of our histories. And Jerry has a history. And, you know, we love Jerry. Because, he's a great example to all of us, about God forgiving us and taking us to a new place in our lives and forgiving us for our sin. And one of the things that I said about Jerry that I really appreciate is Jerry is an honest man. He's an honest man. He speaks the truth. And that's what set him free, wasn't it, Jerry? Speaking the truth, admitting our sin, looking at our sin, because we're all sinners. We're all sinners. And we all sin in different ways, and we're all addicted to something. You understand that, right? We all struggle with something. Every single one of us struggles with something. Now, for some it might be this, for some it might be something else. But we all struggle with something, and we're all addicted to, and even the Apostle Paul, what's it say about the Apostle? He had a thorn in the flesh. It was something that Paul struggled with. We don't know what it was, but he had a thorn, he had a struggle that he kept, you know, and what does Romans say? The very thing that I want to do, I didn't do. Right? And there was a struggle. Paul talks about his struggle. And are we acknowledging our struggle? The things that we struggle with, are we acknowledging that? Because, you know, Jerry's been forgiven. His past is gone. He's living for Jesus Christ now. See? And are we living for Jesus Christ? See? And in order to be clean every day, we need to be looking at ourselves, being honest with ourselves. Knowing God and knowing ourselves is what real wisdom is all about. See? And so, being honest with ourselves, knowing the wisdom of God is, it's from above. See, it's very different than earthly wisdom. Wisdom from God is pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's open to reason. It's full of mercy and good fruits. It's impartial and sincere. That's what the wisdom of God is. And if we are believers and we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, then this is what we want to pursue. And in our church, right, we have gone through some difficulties this past year, as all of you know. And I'm going to tell you, we cannot go through that again. Amen?
Amen.
We need to be moving from where we are now. We've come a long ways. And moving forward, see? And that's going to require all of this kind of thing right here. Wisdom. Wisdom from above. See? That's what it's going to require. Now, James asks, who is wise and understanding among you? And then he emphasizes that wisdom should be demonstrated through good conduct and works done in the meekness of wisdom. Notice, good conduct and works done in meekness of wisdom. You want to be wise? You want to be understanding? James tells us this is how it's done. Now, meekness of wisdom. Meekness here does not imply weakness. Quite the contrary. Rather, it signifies gentleness, humility, prudent behavior. True wisdom is always meek, mild, and gentle. And those are things that are not necessarily my strength. I'm going to be honest, right? I have to really work at being gentle. I was waiting for my wife to say amen, but, you know. But that's a struggle that I have. That's one of the struggles I have. Okay? And so meekness of wisdom comes with, you know, this mild, gentle spirit. Humility, see? And as we search for a new pastor, whoever that is, right, it's not about what we want for ourselves. We all have our own little, what shall I say, desires, whatever they might be. But it's what does God want? What does God want? And what's going to happen if I disagree with the rest of the congregation? Or what's going to happen if I, you know, this person, whoever this person is, rubs me the wrong way? Well, you know, Kathy reminds me that I've said that she, you know, she's like sandpaper, I was going to say Barb, but I'm going to say Jan, right? I've said that to Jan and Kathy. And Kathy reminds me of that at session meeting. Well, I'm sandpaper, right? But you know the thing about sandpaper, and this is why I say this to Kathy. I say it because sandpaper, if you take sandpaper and put it on wood and you do this, you know, what happens to the wood? It becomes smooth, right? And Kathy, you've smoothed off some of my rough edges, you know. And Jan, certainly you have done that as well. And, so I love you and I appreciate you. And I hope they say the same about me, because we've done that with each other. Because we all have rough edges. You know that, right?
Amen.
All of you do, you know. Even Julie, you have rough edges. You know?
Yeah.
I did already. That's why I picked on you. So, you know. But anyway. But anyway, you know, that's what we need to be doing. You know, because We're going to disagree with each other. We're not all going to like the same things. And there's more changes coming. I can assure you of that. With new leadership, there's going to be some new changes. And we're already working on some changes that are going to be introduced to the congregation with bylaws and policy manuals that need to be in place to move forward. And so, again, we might be sandpaper, but let's not be people that say, you know what, if I don't get my way, I'm going to pick up my marbles and go somewhere else. Don't do that, right? Now, you're free to do that, but I'm going to say, don't do that, right? And be wise, be wise, be wise. Know yourself. We're not going to have all the answers, and we're not always going to have whatever way the things that we want. We're not always going to have our own way. And those of us that are married, which or have been, we know, right, that when you're with someone, you're not always going to get your own way, are you?
Amen. Amen.
You gotta work it out.
There was a loud amen from this section over here. By the way, y'all are messing me up today because you're sitting in different places, you know. So, but I appreciate that.
That's change.
That's right. That's change. He doesn't say much, but when he does, it's important. Thank you. All right. James contrasts with bad behavior things like bitterness, right? Jealousy, selfish ambition. None of us here are selfish, are we? I'm glad we're chuckling, right? We all have selfish sides to us, don't we? See? But this does not go with godly wisdom. See? It's what does God want? See? And we're going to have to trust God to show us what direction we're going to go with and who that person is. See? And we need to be aware of we can be bitter. We can be selfish and jealous, you know? The wisdom that leads to jealousy and ambition is not from above, obviously. It's earthly. It's natural. And even demonic, James says. Wow. 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 That's heavy duty, isn't it? Instead, heavenly wisdom is pure, peaceable, gentle, merciful, without hypocrisy. And we don't want to be hypocrites. There was a time in my life where I was a hypocrite. And let me tell you something. It's a lousy place to be. Lousy place to be. Yep. Yep. And we want to pay attention. We don't want to say one thing and live another way. Don't do that. It's hypocrisy. And I'll tell you, there's nothing that feels better than knowing that when you're living as God would want you to live, as God spells out in his word, there's no greater feeling to know that, hey, I'm living according to God's word.
Amen.
No greater feeling. No greater freedom. Amen?
Amen.
That's where freedom is. Eh? So without hypocrisy, James says, it bears the fruit of righteousness. See? That's what heavenly wisdom does. It bears the fruit of righteousness. Now, understanding that he talks about, and this is taken from a secular Nicolas Cage. You probably all know who he is. But I thought this was really good. God can even use, actors sometimes, right? Understanding is deeper than knowledge. And there are many people who know you, but very few people that understand you. How many would agree with that? Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, it's one thing, you know, to, as he says here, to know somebody, but it's another thing to be understood. And I've struggled with understanding all my life, you know, for whatever reason. Many people say, well, you're very fortunate. God has given you discernment and understanding and all that. And yeah, that helped me in my career as a counselor. But it's kind of a curse as well, right? Because I want to understand. I mean, to me, if I don't understand something, hey, what'd you say, Kathy? It drives me nuts. How did you know that, right? If I don't understand something, it drives me crazy. Can anybody relate to that? Yeah. Yeah, it drives me crazy, see? And so when I got married to Deb, right, I wanted her to understand me. Do you understand me?
She's working on it.
No.
There you go.
She says, no, she's not even trying to understand me, right? She just loves me anyways, right? And I'll tell you something. You know, it's great to be understood, but having been at a place in my life where I was married before, you know, I found out the hard way. The only person that really gets me, the only person that really understands me, it's God himself. And it's not Deb. And that's why Deb doesn't try to understand me. See? Because she knows, right? That God is the only one that's going to understand her, that's going to understand me. And so to be understood, God is the one that understands you. God understands the church here. God understands what's going on here. He understands, right? And that's where our understanding needs to come from. It's deeper than knowledge. And that is all tied in with wisdom. An understanding defined is this: sympathetically aware of other people's feelings. Tolerant. Are we tolerant? And forgiving. And, you know, how often in our messages, and this is not intentional, it's just the scripture as I prepare the messages. But what theme keeps coming up that's here? Forgiving. Yeah, forgiving. And forgiving, by the way, in the original language, in the Greek language, it carries with it the idea it's either in a present active indicative or it's an imperfect verb. Okay, and that may not mean much to you, but here's what ought to mean something to you. That whenever God talks about forgiving, it's not anything but an ing. It's always ing, what I call ing. In other words, it's an ongoing thing. Ongoing, 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 ongoing. And the only way that we're going to be getting along with one another is if we're forgiving, ing, always, 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 always forgiving. Ing. It's not a one deal. It's not a one and done thing. It's a continual, habitual thing that God calls it. It's an ing thing. You know, and I am here today because you guys have forgiven me for a number of things, probably, right? And I have forgiven you, right? And we keep constantly forgiving one another, right? And we're tolerant. We're tolerant. And please bring this to whoever follows me, right? That we want to be this kind of person. And the foundation, here it is. We're going to wrap it up here. The foundation of wisdom is peace. Amen? That's the foundation of wisdom. Wisdom. You know, you mentioned our world, right, in the turmoil. Joe, you mentioned our world in Israel. There's so much turmoil going on. It's not wise. It's not wise.
We're all like little kids. That's what this is all about. Not getting our way.
Well, and we can act like little kids, right? But the foundation of wisdom, and when we pray for our country and we pray for the Israel, and we pray for all the other countries in our world. Here's what we need to pray. God, give them wisdom. Wisdom that comes from you. Because God is all about peace. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. And what are we about? Are we about peace? I sure hope so, right? Because that's the foundation of wisdom. That's it. That's the foundation. And you know what a foundation is? Renee knows what a foundation is. She's building a new house, and they're setting the walls, right? Did they set the house yet? Thursday. The house is coming Thursday. Now, did you have to pour a footer to set those walls on? No. What did you do? Stone. Why did you use stone? Yeah. You need a foundation, right? You need a solid foundation, right? Sand is not a solid foundation, right? You need concrete or rock or something, right? There's a foundation, and that's crucial. Without a foundation, what's going to happen? It crumbles. What is our foundation? What is our foundation?
Jesus Christ.
I like how, Ryan, you keep pointing up. I love that, man. That's cool. That's cool. Right? That's the foundation. Do we have it here? Do we have it here? It's all about peace. That's the foundation of wisdom. And James says this, verse 18, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Are we peacemakers? Are we peacemakers? I sure hope so. Yeah, we're trying. We're trying. And trying, I always like to say trying is an ING thing too. And what does an ING thing mean? That's right. It's ongoing. It's ongoing. We're not going to be perfect. But we can keep trying, right, to move further in our growth with the Lord Jesus and knowing God and knowing ourselves. ING thing, right? Learning from our past. Do we have a past? Yeah, we have a past. Can lend ourselves. And you know, when you think about our past, and we all have them, right? The past is gone. It's gone, people. It's gone. It's like water that goes over a dam. Once it goes over, it's never going to come back up, right? It's water over the dam. It's gone. And the future, we don't know what the future is. No way of knowing what the future. The only thing we have, people, is the present. It's here and now. What are we doing here and now, right? To affect our future. Because the past, but you know, there's one thing the past is good for. And what is that? Yeah. It's learning. Learning. That's where the past is valuable. And do we have a past as a church? Do we have a past as of a year ago? Yeah. Are we going to learn? It's of wisdom, right? Learning from our past lends itself to wisdom about our future as a church. And boy, I don't know why you all aren't saying amen. Somebody did, right? Here it is. Learning from our past can lend itself to wisdom about our future as a church. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Amen. What's that?
You can teach somebody from your lessons that you learned in the past.
That's right.
Save somebody else from going down the road you might have.
You know something about that, sounds like.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And Keith, I know Keith does too. He shared with me. And we all can. We all can. God gives us a past so that we can learn from it and we can teach others from it, as he just said. Ryan, welcome. I hope you're going to continue to come. That's great. Well, we're going to close in a word of prayer. And let's really take what God has given us here and really munch on it. When I say munch, think about it. as God prepares us for a future. But in order to know what that future is, we have to presently, right now, apply the scripture to what's going on. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you for James and for how practical your word is to our lives. And we pray that as we learn from our past, that we won't repeat the past in the future. And that in the present, we might be constantly examining ourselves, being honest with ourselves about the things that we struggle with, and to realize that forgiving is ing, it's ongoing, and that we might even forgive ourselves as we forgive others. And that's one of the reasons why we recite the Lord's Prayer every Sunday. And we pray that you would make us people that not only love each other, but love you above all else. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.